Crenshaw, Ms. Crenshaw.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I'm Zena Crenshaw, and I've appealed to this Court after being disciplined based on credibility determinations that have no articulated basis. It's not enough, or at least it shouldn't be enough, for a court to discern that basis in isolation. I need to know what it is. I need to know the basis so I can challenge it, so I can defend myself, so I can perhaps concede it. And if Chief Judge Miller took it upon himself to consider the question of my credibility as part of determining whether reciprocal discipline was appropriate, the matter should have been opened up for a full hearing. Another problem with this case is that I've been twice punished for the same offense. What was supposed to be my automatic reinstatement has been postponed. And why? Because I haven't paid the substantial cost of prosecuting me by the state. Well, there's at least one state court justice that believes I can't pay except on installment terms that include a minimum payment. But I'm suspended from the state courts and from the Northern District of Indiana until the Indiana Disciplinary Commission becomes convinced that I can't pay. And then the Indiana Supreme Court will decide what it thinks about the situation. And then in turn, the federal district courts for the Northern District of Indiana will weigh in on the matter. It was the Indiana Supreme Court that determined that a 30-day suspension was appropriate for my misconduct, meaning the misconduct that hinged on this mysterious credibility determination. But now I'm indefinitely suspended until the question of whether whether I can pay the state gets resolved. And I just can't imagine how that's a federal court matter, because I'm not indebted to the federal courts. The last time I provided information to the Indiana Disciplinary Commission upon the orders of the Indiana Supreme Court, it was about a year before the matter was resolved. So I'm facing an indefinite suspension because I've brought the proposition to the Indiana Supreme Court that I don't have the ability in a lump sum basis to pay over $6,000 in prosecution costs, and have proposed that my husband will pay that amount if he's able to do it on manageable terms, and have proposed a monthly installment basis. So for that, I'm indefinitely suspended, whereas for supposedly disparaging a state and a federal court judge,
How much has been paid so far toward the costs?
We paid the amounts. The court made an order that we pay the clerk $100 lump sum. We paid that. They required that we pay the disciplinary commission $155 lump sum. And then the order requires that the balance be paid in a lump sum, and we weren't able to do that. So we paid probably close to $300. And we would have proceeded to make installment payments on the balance, but the order specifically says it's to be paid in a lump sum amount.
Have you established an escrow account, for example, and put anything into escrow toward the $6,000?
I don't have any assets. I don't have any income. I have no ability to pay it.
What does your husband do?
My husband's retired. And I do plan on submitting information to the disciplinary commission. Apparently, the Indiana Supreme Court wants some documentation. I'm not sure how I can document a lack of income, but I do plan on providing them my income tax returns. And my husband, as I said, has agreed to pay if he can do it on manageable terms. And I'm trying to anticipate what information will keep us from will avoid a debate on what he should find manageable. So I anticipate I may provide at least some portion of his income tax returns. We'll be seeking an extension for preparing our income tax return. But one thing, if my husband was a trillionaire and refused to pay cost imposed upon me, I don't think that's a reason for me to lose my license, at least not that reason alone. I imagine if my husband was a trillionaire, I'd probably have some assets of my own. But that's where I do stand. I don't have the ability to put any funds aside. I don't work outside the home. And my sole support is provided by my husband. There's no state or federal rule that makes it per se conduct not to pay the state prosecution costs of lawyer discipline.
Do lawyers in Indiana have to provide professional malpractice insurance?
It's not
a condition of being a lawyer.
Not that I'm aware of. And this matter, these costs are associated with prosecution of me on a disciplinary matter as opposed to associated with malpractice. I don't know if perhaps Chief Judge Miller has made a determination, an unarticulated determination, that is per se conduct to not reimburse the state. I would venture to say that if he made that determination on the occasion of my case, it would be akin to an ex post facto law, and it's otherwise outside the parameters of appropriate reciprocal discipline that's been set by the U.S. Supreme Court. So I submit, Your Honors, that that this case is before the court because of a series of abuses of discretion.
But isn't your real quarrel with the Supreme Court of Indiana?
Well, I have been suspended by the Indiana Supreme Court, but my question before this court is whether I should have in turn been suspended from the federal district court, the Northern District of Indiana.
Right, but that's just the basic concept of reciprocity. The district court says we don't want in our bar anybody who is not a member in good standing of the state bar. And that throws us back to the question about what the Supreme Court of Indiana has done.
Well, Your Honor, the U.S. Supreme Court suggests that the federal courts have an obligation to make an independent determination as to the fitness of the members of his bar, and that they're not, in fact, they're not only not bound to simply adopt determinations by the state courts, but are actually perhaps ethically charged not to do that.
But hasn't the court said, this Indiana Supreme Court said to you that if you demonstrate to them your inability to pay the $6,000, they'll lift the suspension?
That's what it said.
The Indiana Supreme Court indicated that if I basically demonstrate to the disciplinary commission my inability to pay, and then the disciplinary commission recommends to the Indiana Supreme Court that I be reinstated, then the Indiana Supreme Court will consider that request. And then,
Can't you do that then? Can't you submit that proof to the disciplinary commission?
And I have to be suspended from the practice of law for this entire time? I mean, I was suspended in 2004. At a minimum, I had to wait to 2005 to be able to provide my income tax return. Why should I have to be suspended from the practice of law, removed from the roles of attorneys, while the courts decide whether I can pay? A suspension, discipline is for misconduct. There has not been a determination that I can pay, but I refuse to. That is my question. That is my real concern. That I have been suspended, but what was supposed to have been my automatic reinstatement has been indefinitely suspended while the courts ponder whether I can pay or not. And there's no time frame set on this. There's no time limitations. I don't have any time restrictions. The disciplinary commission doesn't have any time restrictions. I can submit all the evidence in the world, and everyone could go on vacation for a couple of years, and I will still be suspended from the practice of law. And with no interim determination of misconduct, I've essentially been punished twice for the same offense, which Supreme Court precedents.
If you submitted your proof of indigency and they didn't act on it, your position would be stronger.
Perhaps.
So maybe you should do that.
I will. I thought a rather detailed.
You filed a bankruptcy proceeding?
No. I don't have any need to file for
you
bankruptcy.
Well, Is this a dischargeable debt in bankruptcy?
I'm not sure. It's a debt to the government.
You certainly have one debt.
It may be. But my husband's willing to pay it if he can just do it on manageable terms. And he proposed that he would pay it with a minimum. It was some small, not modest amount that he would pay at a minimum. We're contemplating moving. We're in the process of selling property. We may
Well, when you say selling property, you've just said that you have assets.
I don't. It's all property that my husband had. We've only been married a few years. It's all property that he owned prior to our marriage. And he has a considerable amount of expense, and he should not have to jeopardize his financial stability in retirement because of these costs that have been incurred upon me. Not to mention that, remember, this misconduct that I'm guilty of that has me responsible for all this cost is because the Indiana Supreme Court determined that the hearing officer didn't believe my testimony, and no one has said why. I mean, they don't have perjury convictions in the file, doctor testimony that I'm a pathological liar. But, you know, my First Amendment rights have been curtailed for some unknown reason. I guess the gut reaction of a hearing officer.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Cranshaw.
Thank you.
Taken under advisement. Court will be in recess at 9:30 tomorrow.